Nathan Fraser Show, episode 114, Why Successful Capitalists Turn Socialist.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad, and the place to be? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. And this week, we're going to be doing a podcast episode all about why successful capitalists tend to turn socialist. I guess maybe not tend to turn socialist, but there are a lot of socialist successful capitalists out there. There are a lot of very successful people in the capitalist world that promote the ideals of socialism. And today we're going to look into a couple examples of this and why this happens to be the case. So we're going to start off with a story that I kind of hinted at last week, but I didn't really get into. And I'm going to talk about Tim Cook. Now, I think it would not be fair to call Tim Cook a socialist, but Tim Cook has been very anti-free market lately. Let's say that. Who's Tim Cook? Tim Cook is the CEO of Apple right now. And recently he was at an ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. It might have been something else. He was at some kind of organization's get together, and he was doing a speech, an acceptance award speech, and he was talking about how Apple took the brave stance to eliminate hate speech from their platform. They took the brave stance that they don't tolerate anybody being divisive or promoting violence on their platform. They absolutely, it's their moral obligation to rid their platform of any particular people that might be talking about violence or promoting division. In this particular aspect, it was very strongly, he said something about conspiracy theorists. It was very strongly hinted that he was talking about Alex Jones, as they had just recently taken Alex Jones off of the iTunes store. They took Alex Jones' app off of that. They deplatformed Alex Jones. And the funny thing about this was, I personally, some of you may not know, my very first business was actually an underground record label. Me and my little brother, when he was still alive, we used to make hip hop music, and we have a couple of CDs that are actually still up for sale on the iTunes store, and they absolutely promote violence. They are rap CDs. The majority of rap music promotes violence, and at least one song per album, there's some sort of promotion or glorification of violence. It's kind of what hip hop culture was built upon. None of our CDs are still up there, still for sale. They've not been deplatformed. Tons and tons. You look at Dr. Dre, you look at The Game, you look at just tons of rap music that you can buy on the iTunes store that absolutely promotes violence, absolutely promotes division, absolutely promotes violence against minority communities. And that's okay. Tim Cook has no problem selling that stuff. Straight out calls for violence using the N-word derogatorily in music. And because it's from hip-hop artists, or because it's from other Black people or Hispanic people or Puerto Rican people or whatever the case may be, not a problem at all selling that. And Alex Jones talks crazy conspiracy theories about how they're turning the frogs gay, though. And no place for that on Apple. 50 Cent wants to talk about murdering people. Oh, totally fine. No problem there. So the blatant hypocrisy of Tim Cook was on full display. Another recent thing, though, that kind of flew under the radar was Tim Cook talking recently about how there needs to be internet regulation. There needs to be stricter regulation of the internet because Facebook and Google abusing people's privacy. Now, as a marketer, I'm kind of 50-50 on the privacy issue. If people are going to give away their privacy in order to get better services from Google and Facebook, and they're going to give away their privacy, and it makes it easier for me to advertise to the right people and not waste my ad dollars trying to reach the wrong people or reaching the wrong people with my message, I'm not 100% against that. I do find the conspiracy theorist in me does find certain concerns with what some of the information that they're collecting about people. I won't lie about that, but again, maybe people should read the fine print of their terms and services before they hit accept. And is it Apple's fault or Google's fault or my fault as a marketer that people just willingly give away all their information? I don't know who's to blame there. I think the blame lies on both sides, and I don't know if government regulation is the answer to that. But the point of the matter is the reason why I bring this up, the reason why I start with this, Tim Cook said in this recent interview it's time for us to admit that the free market has failed and we need to regulate the internet. And privacy concerns were the reason that he gave. But the hypocrisy of this is that Apple itself violates people's privacy. Apple itself collects information and uses that information to retarget and advertise to people. Apple itself actually uses and has partnerships with Google Ads. So the same people that are criticizing for taking people's information and using it unscrupulously, Apple is actually buying that information from those very same companies. So again, an example where the free market helped them get to where they are, and now where they're at, now that they are where they're at, all of a sudden they're no longer fans of the free market. And we're going to see this same theme reoccurring throughout tonight's episode. So Tim Cook is a good example of this. Jim Carrey recently came out and said, it's time for us to say yes to socialism. And I don't think this is the first time that Jim Carrey has done something like this. I want to say, what show was it on? Maybe it was on Bill Maher's show. Maybe it was on one of those late night talk show type formatted TV shows. Jim Carrey was the guest and he came out and he was talking about how great socialism is. And I want to say the quote was, we must, or you must say yes to socialism, or Democrats must say yes to socialism. It's time to stop looking at socialism as this big, scary thing. And he talked about how he came from Canada where they have socialized medicine and socialism so great. Of course, he fully enjoys the free market-ish. I wouldn't even say our healthcare system is even close to a free market, but I know a lot of people that actually live in Canada that come to America to get their healthcare. I know a lot of other people that live in America that actually go on what they call medical tourism to go to more free, less restrictive countries when it comes to healthcare to get their healthcare. Capitalism at its finest. I'm all for it. Anyways, the point is that Jim Carrey is not alone. There are a lot of Hollywood celebrities that lean very, very far to the left that openly nowadays admit that they're socialists, or openly admit that they're pro-communist, or that they flirt with communist ideals. And this isn't anything new. I mean, the whole McCarthy era witch hunts back in the day were because it was pretty much commonly known that Hollywood was infested with socialists and communists back then. It's still the case today. There are a lot of uber rich celebrities, a lot of very well off people that have made ass tons of money in the free market system that we have, or the closely resembling free market or somewhat resembling free market capitalist system that we have. They've made millions, sometimes billions of dollars off of it. They're uber rich and famous celebrities, and they use their platform to talk about how great socialism would be. And people often get confused. They look at this, somebody who's a multimillionaire, and they say, why would this person promote socialism? Don't they know that under socialism, they're the ones that would have all of their money? If they're so concerned about the poor and they think it's so horrible that there's inequality, another one that really just gets my goat when he talks about it is that the British guy, gosh, what's his name? I can't even remember his name right now. He's the one with the goofy looking face and the long hair. He's the British guy in the movies with Puff Daddy. Damn it. Can't remember his name right now. It doesn't matter. He's a big proponent of socialism as well. There's a lot of these celebrities that they're millionaires, and you would think logically, if these people really had a problem with capitalism, why don't they just give up their money? Don't they realize that under socialism, their money would be violently taken from them? Under capitalism, they can just give it away. They can start charities. They can give it to charities. They can go give it to the homeless. They don't need socialism to redistribute wealth. They have the wealth, and under capitalism, they can go and redistribute their wealth as freely as they want. So why do they promote socialism? And it would seem like something that would that Russell Brand. That's who I was talking about earlier. Russell Brand is another super rich celebrity that talks about how great socialism is. Wow, why did that hit me right in the middle of that sentence? Anyways, the point of the matter is people like Jim Carrey, people like Russell Brand, you would think that they would realize that under socialism, they would be violently robbed of almost everything they own. So why not just voluntarily give it away if they think that redistribution of the wealth is such a great idea and that it's so wrong that there's income inequality? Why don't they just voluntarily redistribute their own wealth? Be the change you wish to see in the world. And why would they wish to see that in the world if they would be the ones that would logically be the ones who are robbed? We're going to talk about that here again in a second, but I'm going to go way back now to a company called IG Farben. Now, some people might not know who this company is. IG Farben for a long time, and they've been split up, and they've got shell and umbrella companies, and they're not the same structure that they were back in the day, but they were the company back before World War II. They were like a huge, powerful company that was like this multinational company out of Germany, and they were in all kinds of stuff, pharmaceutical, fuel. They were just all over the place. They had their tentacles in everything. And they were located in Germany, and they were heavy proponents of National Socialism. And in other countries where they were operating, in capitalist countries, they promoted capitalism. And in socialist countries or countries that were leaning towards socialism, they tended to invest their money in supporting the socialist leaders of those countries or the socialist politicians. I don't want to say guilty, but guilty is probably the right word. They were after the Nuremberg trials and all of that stuff happened, it was found that they had been supporters of Adolf Hitler. And this company, IG Farben, they own still to this day under new, basically a facelift, a new set of makeup. They still own major sections of the pharmaceutical companies in America, the pharmaceutical industry in America, and pharmaceuticals and oil throughout the entire world. They're a very powerful company still to this day, even though they don't still operate under the same name. Now, why did this company, a multinational giant corporation that was thriving under free market capitalism, why did they support national socialists in other socialist countries? Why did they support the socialist politicians? Why did even inside of America, when we were having our communist scare, they had their tentacles behind some of that? They were found to be promoting some of the more left-leaning politicians and celebrities back in the day. Why would a company that has attained world superpower status, a multi-billion-dollar, multinational mega corporation that has its tentacles in tons of different industries that capitalism allowed to bring to the very top of the business world, why would they promote socialism? Why would they be so happy to get behind socialism? Now, and regulation, I'm going to get into that here in a second as well. So why do we see these people, so many rich and powerful people that use capitalism to get to the top of the world, suddenly turn around and start promoting socialism from or at least regulation? And when I want to kind of clarify, IG Farben, they have instances where, especially back in the day, there's a great book and people should read this. It's called A World Without Cancer, I believe. It was written by the same guy that wrote A Creature from Jekyll Island. and it goes deep into IG Farben and their influence in how the medical industry became regulated to restrict certain drugs and influence and prop up other drugs. And he gets into very deeply why this company and other companies like this tend to favor excessive regulations in marketplace after a very lax regulation let them get to the top. And it starts to make sense after you kind of understand this. So here's the deal. In a free market, smaller companies have major advantages over big companies. Smaller companies are quicker to respond to the market because they're more flexible. They're not as bloated with bureaucracy. They have lower operating expenses. So when something in the marketplace changes, smaller companies are able to adjust to that change. When a new technology comes out, they're able to adopt it faster. When there's a hiccup in the market, it doesn't hurt them as much as it hurts some big giant corporations. So when you're a smaller company, a free market is great. It helps you grow. It helps you expand. And under free markets, we have the most economic mobility. There's a phenomenon that happens under free market capitalism, and I call it the rags to riches to rags again. But it's basically a lot of times families will go from rags to riches to rags again within two or three generations. One industrialist or industrialist, somebody who's very driven, will be born poor, be born in a world full of rags, and just work their ass off to build an empire. And they'll build up this great empire, and within their generation, they go from rags to riches. And then they pass that off to their children, and their children never had to work as hard. They never understood what it took to build that empire up. So their children take it for granted, and they don't appreciate it and manage it and put the hard work into it that their dad did. And then they pass the empire on to their children, who are spoiled, who never had to work for anything, who are trust fund babies, who never appreciated the value of hard work. And by the time that the company gets handed off to them and they get their greedy hands all over it, they tend to run it into the ground. And by the time it gets to their children, which would be that person's great-grandchildren, the original guy that started the business, their company is worth nothing anymore. It goes from rags to riches to rags again within three or four generations. And that happens a lot in a free market society, in a capitalist society. People don't hold on to wealth very long. There's a lot of economic mobility. People that start off absolutely poor can end up being absolutely rich, and people who start off absolutely rich can end up being absolutely poor. Companies that sit at the very top, that use the free market to get to the very top, once they're there, they understand that now that they're at a disadvantage because it's easy in a free market to get to the top, but it's also easy in a free market to come tumbling down to the bottom and be replaced by somebody else who started at the bottom and is able to, because of their size advantage of being small, able to dethrone you and take your place. So the free market allows you to get rich, but it also allows you to be taken over and get poor again. So once you become rich, now all of a sudden, how do you keep that money? How do you keep that position? How do you keep that status? How do you keep that empire that you built? You start going against the free market. You say, now that we've made it, we don't want the competition from the smaller companies. We don't want the competition. We don't want the economic mobility that the free market offers. Let's start figuring out ways to use the government and use regulations and maybe even use socialism to keep ourselves up here at the top. And what a lot of businesses do is they start getting in bed with the regulators. Once an industry starts being regulated, once you regulate what can be bought and sold, the first thing to be bought and sold will be the regulators. Once these big giant companies get into these positions of power, they start buying the regulators. If there's going to be regulation of their marketplace, they want to make sure that the regulation is in favor of them and is prohibitive to their competition. So if there's going to be regulations, they want to have their guys writing the regulations. So what happens is, and we're seeing this right now with the internet, they're talking about how do we need to regulate the internet. Well, Congress has no idea how the internet works. Are we going to trust a bunch of people who have no idea how the internet even works to regulate the internet? No, that doesn't make any sense. So who's the best people to regulate the internet? Obviously, it's going to be the people that are at the top of the industry, the industry leaders in the internet, in the internet industry. We're going to have people from Google. We're going to have people from Facebook. We're going to have people from eBay. We're going to have the people that, are the industrial leaders. They're the ones who understand the internet the best. So why not have them come in and instruct Congress on how, or just hire them to come in and write the regulations? That's what happens. It's called regulatory capture. It happens over and over again. Either the biggest industries in a particular niche by the regulators, or they have people from their industries leave their industries, enter into Congress and become the regulators themselves. Then they write the regulations that favor their businesses, and then they leave Congress and they go back to work for their businesses. And now they have a nice, comfy safety net of regulations to keep all of their competition down and to protect them from falling and plummeting down. And it's all because once they use the free market to get to the top, the best way to stay at the top is to start promoting regulation, to start promoting sometimes even socialism. Again, going back to IG Farben, a lot of the countries where they promoted socialism, once socialism took root and said, okay, now we've got socialized healthcare, IG Farben said, well, hey, we've got this great company that produces drugs. Let us be the ones that, and, the old saying is, under socialism, all animals are created equal, but some animals are created a little bit more equal than others. Well, when you're the biggest industry and your country goes socialist, you're in a great position to be a little bit more equal than others. And so that's what happens, is they say, hey, we don't want to deal with the competition. Now we're at the top. We don't want to deal with the competition. Let's encourage socialism and let's make it to where everybody below us, now that there's no more free market at all, they can't even compete with us. And they're going to need, the socialist government's going to need what we provide. So we'll just work a deal with them to where we're the exclusive provider for this. And yeah, we don't get the free market anymore, but we don't need the free market anymore because we're already at the top. So under socialism, we'll be able to keep our position at the top. And that's a lot of times what they end up doing. When industries get nationalized, the biggest players get to keep their position at the top because obviously the politicians are like, well, you obviously know how this works better than we do. So you can keep your comfy lifestyle. You can keep your position at the top. And we'll make it to where nobody's allowed to compete with you because without a free market, there is no competition. So it only makes sense once you make it to the top of any kind of industry under a free market. Once you're there, you realize that that same free market that rose you to the top can also take you down and raise somebody else to the top. And if you don't want that happening, you need to start buying up the regulators, or you need to start promoting socialism and use socialism to keep yourself at the top. Use regulations to keep yourself at the top. And this is true of the big giant tech companies that we're seeing lean further and further to the left. This is true of celebrities who we see lean further and further to the left. This is true of IG Farben, who was a giant proponent of national socialism under Nazi Germany. We see these giant mega rich celebrities, mega rich tech firms, mega rich pharmaceutical companies, mega rich oil companies that use capitalism to get to the top of society. And once they're there, they start promoting leftist ideals. And it's not just because they're virtuous. It's because they realize that under the free market, they can have it all taken away. And they don't want that to happen. So the best thing to do is to start promoting a system that can keep them up at the top and keep everybody else down at the bottom. That's why, in my opinion, that's why we see all of these celebrities, all of these pharmaceutical companies, all that promote socialized healthcare, all of these tech firms that promote major leftist ideals, all of these celebrities like Jim Carrey and Russell Brand. In my opinion, the reason why is because they realize that once they're at the top, the only way to go is down, and socialism eliminates competition. So that is my two cents on this thing. Again, I recommend reading A World Without Cancer. It's a great book, and it dives deep into the pharmaceutical companies, into pharmaceutical regulations, and into why these big companies end up promoting socialism once capitalism has raised them to the top of their industries. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the show. My name's Nathan Fraser. If you did, make sure that you're subscribed. Either subscribe on YouTube, subscribe to my channel on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, wherever you're listening to this. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And I will check you later. My name's Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. Faith in each other, not in authority. I'm out of here. Deuces.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Oh, you're expecting a teaser for Deadpool 2. Well, we don't have that kind of money. You're expecting Sam Jackson show up with an eye patch and a saucy little leather number? Go.